B-Pod Studios.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone!
Give us, if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone!
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is the kind of nonsense we live for. Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Happy New Year's. Happy New Year. On this 3rd of January. You were not here Friday. I was here. Yep. We had a little caller-on-caller crime going on. Jake in Boston told me on Friday that he's going to come up with an algorithm.
Wait, you're talking about this past Friday?
Yeah.
You worked Friday?
I did. I was here Friday.
It was him and Perillo. It was a good show. I listened to a good chunk of it. You guys
I don't know
good.
That I'd call it good. I'm not going to be submitting that one for
it
the
was
Marconi.
A show. That's what Perillo said yesterday.
Yeah.
He didn't think it was good either.
Yeah, he's
it
not
shows
wrong.
How good you two are.
Yeah. So Jake claims to be working on getting the nerds, the Millikens, to put together an algorithm that tracks posts from wives and girlfriends and those close to players of all sports. Yep. And figuring out the level of activity on those Instagram posts, tweets, whatever it may be through social media.
Okay.
And figuring out if there is a correlation between all kinds of activity and winning and losing.
Oh,
love it.
Okay. I do like this.
And he is, if there is a correlation discovered and the algorithm works, he is going to be selling this algorithm to the sports books. To the,
as he said,
the Barstool, Penn Nationals, MGM, DraftKings, whoever it may be, he's going to sell that algorithm to them for them to be able to help them make more money.
Is that where Millikan's at, working on it?
I think that might be where he is.
Okay.
And he said when this all happens and he gets filthy rich, he's going to make Paulie in the truck his driver.
Oh, I love that.
I mean,
carry my bags.
Well, I mean,
I like that.
Make him his driver. You can't force him into it. Is he?
Was it?
Everybody's got a price.
You gotta buy him.
Was he extending his hand, offering him a job, like a lucrative career?
It was in Jake in Boston's tone.
Oh, so probably not.
It was
nice.
Talking right? down to Paulie.
Right, Jake? Is that right?
That is correct. That is correct. I would pay Paulie well, but it wasn't my tone.
Okay.
It
all
right. In his tone.
All right. Fair enough.
So that's what it is.
So what did Paulie have to say about that?
He took offense to it.
Oh. Paulie?
He said.
Let's talk to
Paulie there.
Let's talk to Paulie as well. Let's bring him in
Paulie?
On this. Paulie?
Can you do three-way? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Paulie, your thoughts.
I'm sure he'd love us. I'm sure he'd love a three-way. Listen, kid, I'd be inside of the first mile, I'd have your money in my pocket. Hogtied, and you'd be hogtied, and in the trunk of the car on the way to the dump.
It sounds like a three-way.
Dude, you're a brat-ass millennium that knows nothing about sports.
Oh,
you know, you just select unwinning victims. You know, on social media to aggravate, instigate, antagonize, and harass. And I find you highly annoying.
Okay, Jake, do you have a response to Paulie's claim there?
I would say that before Paulie thinks about hogtie, he should form a frame of reference that goes beyond one viewing of 50 Shades of Grey.
you couldn't pay me to stay home. I'm not interested. I'm sure you got other things in mind.
Okay, that's
Jake,
a fair question.
That. Jake, in your face now.
Yeah, Jake, how about that? I mean, Paulie fears that, you know, you want this for some kind of nefarious
dominance.
Purposes.
Some sort of dominance, right?
Wait. So Paulie, if I got Paulie correct.
Okay, hold on. Go ahead. All right, Jake, go ahead.
If I got Paulie correct, Paulie just said, quote, you can't pay me enough to stay home. Don't we have a trucking crisis going on in this country? Like,
yes,
okay,
chain.
Fine, whatever. Go to California, line up right next to the big shipping crates, and fix the damn country for right now, for all I care, Paulie. That's where you're needed. Go there. Stop worrying about
Mac
Jones right now,
trust
then.
Me.
Fix the country.
I'm a political operative in Norfolk County you have no clue about. Trust me. I've done a lot you have no idea. Idea about. And the suggested ideas to fix this country, people that would step on your head and then put you in, you'll be sick, you know, done.
Hey,
you know,
Paulie,
I'm just telling you, pal.
Yeah.
Just,
Paulie,
you have no clue.
Speaking of stepping on head,
all right.
You know, because I want to get to my original point here, which is Antonio Brown here.
Okay.
Man.
Hang tight, Paulie, for a second.
Right.
Hang tight there, Paulie. Yeah, Jake, what do you got on AB?
I was going to say, speaking of stepping on heads here, don't you get the feeling that given the AB hate, it's all based around your own personal biases against the guy? And mind you, there are officers every single day in this country who have to deal with Antonio Brown. And speaking of political operatives, like Paulie just mentioned, we have an attorney general here who handicaps our officers and our police when they have to deal with the Antonio Browns and getting the Antonio Browns under control here. And a high level of applause to our officers who have to go out and deal with nut jobs like that every single day. And now with our new attorney general, Rachel Rollins, are completely defenseless and have their nuts cut off in terms of being able to do what everyone wants to do to Antonio Brown right now, including Hardy and Bertrand, which is, I don't know, stick him in a cell, a padded cell somewhere to where they can't hurt anyone or anyone's football team or before God knows he even hurts himself, because that's where we're going at this point.
I don't want him to be stuck in a padded cell.
No, not at all.
I think
him on another team. We need another event like this. I like chaos.
You want to get him on another team? Listen,
Dallas.
I take him over to Kill Harry right now. Absolutely.
Okay.
Can I
ask Paulie a question?
Yeah, sure.
Paulie, you know, I'm not going to disclose any of our conversation. Paulie and I had a nice talk when we were doing the Christmas Carol, but you mentioned being a political operative on the phone with me several times. You just mentioned it again. What does that entail? Mm-hmm. What does that entail, being a political
A lot of hard work on the street and coming up with great ideas. And you know one of them,
like in a think tank.
I try to reach right to the top with one. Straight a lot of stuff out and try to get things done this time.
The governor's
and it was well received. And it was well received and thought of. They thought it was a great idea.
All right.
My political boss.
Does it count to be a political operative in the
Commonwealth? You know nothing about me. But I do agree with you about Antonio Brown. Whether you send him, to Green Bay so we can be with that other unvaccinated a-hole, Aaron Rodgers. He'd probably find him somewhere.
Oh, the MVP? Yeah.
That cool, cold weather in Green Bay cool him down a little bit.
Paulie, does it really count to be a political operative in a state that votes Democrat as long as, you know, God knows we're going to be alive here? Does that really count?
That's why I'm an independent. You've got to be Gumby. That's why I'm an independent. You've got to be Gumby, baby. You can talk all the crap you want if you're a Democrat or Republican. If you want to come in, talk at the mic to the people about you having two left arms, say if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, having two right eyes. But when you get to the job, you got to please everybody and you got to serve all people. And Heidi knows that. We talked about that too. And Heidi agree with me. That's exactly what you got to do. All the rest of that stuff's nothing but a lot of talk. You get in the room, you make deals, you look at people in the eye, and you're fair with everybody, and you get things moving so things get done.
Wow.
That's how it works.
How about that, Jake?
He left Jake speechless.
I was going to say, I called crap on independence.
He's just a brat-ass little millennial.
Oh, you were doing so well.
Yeah.
I think you won a lot of people over
him.
With that with that impassioned, heartfelt speech about civic duty, and then you called him a brat. Oh, it just undid all the good work that we did here today.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Paulie. Appreciate your time.
Jesus.
What? The two of them?
Yeah, the two of them.
Democracy.
Let's put those two in a room for an hour. 60 minutes, just the two of them. See if they can solve the world's problems.
What'd Paulie wear? White t-shirt, jeans, and a hat? What do you dress up like when you're a political operative?
Whatever the operation requires.
You got to be Gumby. Put that on a t-shirt. You got to be Gumby.
You got to be Gumby.
Paulie and Dedham.
Oh,
that was fun. Come on, that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Does Jake get any more dirt on any new postings?
Jake feels a little active on social media at the moment, doesn't he?
Sure does.
I think
we might be onto Jake a little bit.
I don't follow him. What are you talking about?
I don't think you're going to find him under Jake in Boston.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Is there another name for an account that he uses?
Maybe.
There might be. Okay.
Yeah, Zoe follows it.
Well, that's some pretty good gossip there, Beetle.
Related to Boston sports. Yeah. Ain't that something? We've got, is Chase Winovich calling us today? Is he in?
Is it Milk Monday?
Is he going to call us next?
That's the plan, yeah.
Kind of does it when he wants to, I think.
Yeah, we might have Chase Winovich next. If might. Not, we'll be talking to you at 617-779-0985. Chase played a healthy amount yesterday. So looking forward to talking to him today. We've also got the Sounds of Sunday coming up later in the hour. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You say dialogue, so says.
It's nice to have sort of this open dialect with you to where...
Dialogue.
What did I say?
Dialect.
I said dialect.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That was a very short break. It happens at this time of year, so you can't do your normal, I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
For Zoe and Bertrand or Felger and Maz or whatever it may be. Just know, more of us today. Mm. Less commercials.
That's right. You're getting 4 hours loaded.
What?
Yeah, nothing.
I hope we get to talk to Chase today.
Yeah, I think he's going to call us.
Well, not so much about the football, but I watched you seen this UFO series? I believe J.J. Abrams is the producer.
Me. Where?
I think it's on HBO.
What's the name of it?
It's four episodes.
Is it good?
It's called UFO. It's really good.
Really?
UFO.
Okay. And there is something that I had not thought about that I'm sure Chase is all over when it comes to the UFO subject in this country and the videos that were released by the Navy. And the Department of Defense, whoever, the Pentagon released those videos in New York Times.
Sure, yeah.
Finally did their article. There is one of the episodes is devoted to an explanation for the release of that information. That's all I want to say. I want to ask Chase about it, though.
Okay. What if he hasn't seen it?
He'll know about this. He'll understand and know about what they're talking about. If we know Chase Winovich at all... He'll have thoughts on this.
Oh, man. Okay. Those fighter pirates screaming like, oh, my God, look at this sucker go.
Mm-hmm.
We All got right. it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Gary's in Plymouth. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
I know you guys were touching a little bit on the Antonio Brown subject earlier. Earlier today, I saw the video and read that he claimed he was too hurt to go into the game, yet he ran off the field under his own power. And my question is, do you guys actually think he had the ankle injury, or do you think he wasn't hurt?
Oh, he's had an ankle sprain the whole year, like for a good chunk of the year. He missed a bunch of games with it. He definitely has an ankle issue, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so he must have been feeling a little bit better then.
I thought he looked pretty good prancing around through the end zone.
Some great jumping jacks there, pumping up the crowd in the end zone. What a scene. The whole scene, wild.
It's crazy. Surreal.
Brandon in Boston on AB. Brandon.
Hey guys. Thanks for taking my phone call. So I'm tired of people, especially the media, talking about AB. AB has no mental problems, okay?
Okay.
Now, I play basketball, okay? And I understand when you're not getting your touches and you don't feel involved with the team, you act out. There was plenty of times where I took the ball and threw it across the floor, kicked the ball, and called out teammates. Okay, let's talk about Antonio Brown. 11 more receptions for 333K. 281 more yards for 333K. Three more touchdowns for 333K. AB's on the sideline. The team's losing. He's not in the game. And he doesn't feel involved. Of course he's going to act out. Okay, AB has no mental problem. He didn't feel like he was appreciated, and that's why he did what he did. And I applaud him. You know, that's bold what happened with him. And everybody wants to say he has a mental issue. It's not a mental issue. He didn't feel like he was involved, and he acted out, okay? Plain and simple. I played sports, and I know how people act. That wasn't a mental issue. He's perfectly fine.
Okay, Brandon, so according to SportTrack, he only needed one more receiving touchdown to get the third of $1 million bonus. 55 receiving yards to get another $333,000.
Probably.
So it wasn't a case of, oh my God, they're not giving it to it. They had the rest of that game and another game. So it's not three touchdowns. One touchdown and 55 more receiving yards to get two-thirds of $1 million. Eight more catches for another third of $1 million.
Probably would have been better if he didn't get suspended for three games. Probably would have been a better situation for him. Probably would have already hit those.
Yeah, he would have hit it already.
Sure. Joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline is Chase Winovich. Chase, of course, calling in for New England Dairy Patriots game day, because every day is game day. When you add dairy to your day, it helps you sustain energy and fuel performance across all four quarters of the day. Real life needs real dairy. Chase Winovich with us now. Hi, Chase.
Hi, guys.
Happy Milk Monday.
There you go.
Happy Milk Monday.
All right.
Hey, congratulations getting back in the playoffs for you. How's that feel?
Feels great. Yeah, it feels really good. More work to do.
How did it feel yesterday getting in on 45% of the defensive snaps and getting some playing time on defense yesterday, and how good did it feel to be involved?
It felt really great. Yeah. Just doing what I can to help the team win and to score 50, which is, I may be biased, pretty great number. It was just a good day. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
What'd you get for Christmas? Anything cool that you may have put on eBay?
Already done with the football, huh?
Already had enough football.
Yeah, I think we...
Wow. Yeah.
For Christmas, I don't know. I really didn't get too much. My mom got me some gadgets. Ooh. That was nice.
Did you get the dog anything for Christmas?
I got him a bunch of treats.
Good looking dogs.
Yeah, he just loves food.
Yeah.
Yeah, he misses the 98.5 Sports Hub office.
There's a lot of food on the floor.
I have apples everywhere. You should bring it back in.
Yeah. You
know? I think he needs to make a return visit.
Oh yeah.
It'd be great.
All right.
Yeah.
I think so.
All right, Chase, I'm not going to wait anymore.
Let's do it, Hardy.
I got to ask you. Have you seen the Showtime series called UFO?
Okay, I thought you were going to ask me about Michigan. Okay, this is much, much better.
No, please, I'm not going to beat you up over that, especially after the Spartans won their bowl game.
We took it too much on last
night. The Spartans won their bowl game. Okay, all right.
They did.
We're proud of them. They're family to us. That's what they don't understand. But Michigan State is family.
Yeah, your family does too. A disappointing older brother. So it's a four-part series on Showtime about UFOs. I think the best thing in there, because they talk about the footage that was released by the government and the Navy pilots and all that. There's an entire episode devoted to disinformation and how one of the explanations about this footage is it's actually something that the government completely knows about or has a pretty good idea what it is, and it's not a UFO, but they put it out there and say, all right, everybody, here's some UFO stuff. We're finally coming clean with you, just like they have in much smaller areas going back to the 50s when they were shooting lasers up at spy satellites and people in Albuquerque said, you're communicating with the aliens. And they said, you know what? This guy can see our lasers. We don't want him to know that we're blocking spy satellites. Go tell him we're communicating with the aliens, which they did. They actually messed with this guy's, the mental health just to keep the ruse going. So how do you feel about that? the idea that when the government does feed us a little spoon feed us a little video footage of some UFOs, they know it's not UFOs, but they're just letting us think that.
Why are they doing that?
Because they know what it is. It could be as something as simple as a weapon that they are testing, or it's a weapon that they know another country has, and they don't want anyone else to know or talk about that.
Oh,
maybe, but do you think that like this could be like the next step in their denial? Is, you know, this is obviously deep.
Bingo.
But it's like, what if they're coming along and they're now making it seem like they're just playing a big joke, and then it's like, oh yeah, we're just making it seem like they're aliens, but they're actually not aliens. Now they're like backtracking from their original take. Like, it's I just don't know if you could really believe anything that they're saying right now. I mean, it I could see why people get confused. Did you guys see the movie Don't Look Up?
Yes.
Good God.
What'd haven't seen it yet.
Tanguay's in that, right?
Gary Tanguay.
Yeah,
Tanguay's
in it. Yeah, it's a fun movie.
Yeah, I thought it was a great movie. I thought it was hilarious.
Your thumbs up on that movie. I've not seen it yet.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny and a great commentary on just the situation that we face in terms of like the divisiveness, and it doesn't really matter necessarily like what like the truth is or like what the facts are, because it's like, you know, we live in such a state of like absorbing all this information and you know, just consuming whatever like the media and these algorithms that have us addicted to stuff online, you know, basically pumped to us. And it just is very one-sided, and essentially it's the end of the world, and you know, it's like there's a comet that's literally right above, and the whole political rally is, you know, don't look up.
Yeah, one side is trying to convince people
don't look up at the comet.
Right, and the other people are saying don't look up, it's fake. It's all fake. Don't look up. That's where they get
don't look up. Yeah, because they're like, this comet's coming, and everyone's like, no, it's not. Like, it's not coming. And then they try to farm the comet for a bunch of money, and you can imagine the end consequences.
Chase, we had a local political operative on the program a short time ago, and what he said was, you've got to be Gumby, meaning you've got to remain independent in political debate, and you've got to serve all of the people. I'm wondering if that's a message you can get behind.
I just feel like it's just a weird dichotomy or situation that we found ourselves in, where it's like you could see the amount of wealth disparity that's in the United States in terms of the wealthiest, you know, 1 or 2% owning like most of the wealth. It just is going to be some interesting times moving forward, because if you figure like the amount of power that if you have money that you can buy in terms of influence of corporations, in terms of their influence on lobbying efforts actually in government itself, it's like, you know, people I think kind of forget that these guys work for us. You know, it's like it's a government for the people, by the people. You know, it's like all that stuff is kind of I don't want to say taking a backseat, but it's not as prevalent in people's minds when, you know, it's like we're subject to such such efforts to manipulate the way we think and distract us from the real reality of the situation.
But Chase, so, what about Mothman?
Mothman is interesting. I mean, if we're talking, I think these are two separate issues. I think we should.
Oh no, it's all kind of. How dare you?
I think if you put it all aboard, connected.
Explain to me the linkage between Mothman.
Do you think the government's hiding Mothman from you?
Seriously.
Do I think they're hiding Mothman? I don't think they know. I just flat out don't think that they know. I think we sometimes give the government itself more credit than what it is. I think the government is more of just a system that's in place, and I think there's definitely influences on the system and I don't want to say the hijacking of that system, but it's I don't think they if anything, I think Mothman serves as a distraction.
More disinformation. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. See, we tied it all together.
Well, I have a question, though. What do you guys think of the simulation theory?
Oh, excuse me?
Yeah, I don't buy it. I'm not. No.
Like the Matrix?
That we're all living in the simulation.
Oh, yeah.
Have we talked about this on here before?
I don't know that we have.
No.
What are your thoughts on that?
So the simulation theory goes something like this. Think of Atari, like 30, I mean, you guys are pretty old. You know, think about like 30 years ago, like, no, I'm kidding. You guys are young spring chickens.
You're fine. Yeah, it's spring forward. Yeah. Go ahead.
Not offending anybody.
Yeah. So think of video games like 30 years ago.
Yep.
Think of like Atari or like super simple, like yep. basic graphics.
Yeah, television. Yeah, Pong. No, 8-bit. Yeah, exactly. Pong. And think of Pong.
Rest in peace to the late, great John Madden. But you can imagine Madden maybe 20 years ago, how like it was like farther along than Atari, but not quite where it is today, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then you can imagine Madden or Call of Duty today and how much more technologically advanced it is.
Oh, my God. I remember when Grand Theft Auto came out. You can run around and beat the hell out of like, them.
Okay, don't deflect.
So it's like if technology keeps getting 1% better, just 1%, maybe 0.1%, if you give it enough time, it's inevitable the technology that we create will be indistinguishable from the technology or the reality, rather, that we currently live in.
Okay.
So that is essentially the simulation theory. It's like it's kind of an inevitable like creation that we're going to make something eventually. If technology keeps getting just a little bit better mm-hmm. every year, eventually it's going to be indistinguishable. Like like what we create, like Call of Duty and Madden, we'll, you can't tell the difference between that and our own reality. So it's like either we're the first people of the entire universe to ever create something like that, or we're just part of many. And it's like, I don't know what the deal is with that HBO show, but the simulation theory goes something like, you know, if you think about those people that you know, that say they see these things that they can't explain every single day, and maybe it could be rationalized away as something that is like, I don't know, something that is like from China. But if it's not, you know, it's like, well, who would take advantage of trying to study us? And, you know, my opinion on that is that it would be humans of the future. You know, if I had a crazy theory, that would be it. It would be the people that have the most to gain would be the people that could create the thing that could observe us in the first place.
I
know there's levels to that.
Yeah, but I think I've got a way to tie both of these things together to ask you about one more theory. And that is
okay.
A theory that the Industrial Revolution.
Jeez, I thought it was going to be football. I thought the Industrial Revolution
was the result of alien technology being found on Earth, and that it's reverse engineered.
Huh. I don't know. Because when you look at the timeline of technology and the timeline of humans on Earth. That would have been like the steam engine.
That would have been one of the first things, yes.
Yeah. It is interesting. Like, there's weird phenomenons where you guys can look this up yourselves. It's like where people discover technologies and come up with inventions at different parts of the world. So like ideas and stuff will like simultaneously pop up in like different regions of you know, that had no connection or communication with each other. And we see that with like the pyramids, and we see that with all sorts of stuff. But yeah, no, it's definitely interesting. I think there's just, like I said, I think all this stuff falls into the category of just being open-minded and understanding that we don't know everything about the world around us, and just being open to trying to learn. I mean, you know, humans are,
right.
You know, we want to be boundless, and we put up all these these barriers on us that we have to. That, you know, I think causes pain in the first place. So.
If you could control the simulation, though, would you somehow configure it so Michigan didn't get blown out by three touchdowns in the Orange Bowl? Would you affect reality in that way?
If I could control the simulation, if I created a, if we, which we will inevitably be able to do, inevitably, anyways. I think if I was running a simulation, I think Michigan would definitely be the national champions for sure.
Wow. That's probably what it's going to take.
And with that said, how important is this weekend's game at Miami?
Oh, very good, Beetle. That's excellent.
Yeah, bring it back. I like it. This weekend's game is huge. My focus is, you know, going to be entirely on that. You know, it's good to take a little break, talk about aliens and simulations and stuff, but it's go time. So just going to do what I can.
That's right. Kill man with ball. Get the ball.
Boys out. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go.
All right.
All right, Chase. Appreciate the time as always.
Yeah, I appreciate
hats.
Your guys' time as well. Let's go.
Thanks, right, Chase. Drink
Chase.
Milk.
Happy Milk Monday. Monday. All right, Chase Winovich, Jesus. Patriots linebacker.
That was deep.
On the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Online. On a Milk Monday. Sounds of Sunday coming up in just 15 minutes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Can you feel it? Really exciting, right?
Woo! Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The game clock down to 2:03, and they do snap it. Lawrence takes it. He's in the pocket. He fires to the left. Ball's picked off. Another interception for the pass, and Phillips has this one upended at the 36. Why force the play? Why force the throw? New England with a second takeaway in as many series.
I think it's J.C. Jackson. I think Jackson jumps this one underneath.
Oh, beg your pardon. Yeah. J.C. Jackson with a pick. So 27 on the interception. J.C. with a theft.
Hey, J.C., that interception, did you dive for that ball? I mean, did you come up with a dive and grab?
Yeah.
So defensively, did you guys feel you guys had your way with that team today?
I mean, of course. We created three turnovers. I mean, that's good. That's good ball on the defense side of the ball. I mean, they couldn't score. They only had 3 points. So I felt like we did a hell of a job today on defense.
J.C. Jackson with dollar signs in his eyes with another pick yesterday.
He did dive, though.
That he did. Steve Sanchez confirmed that.
Our man, Steve.
I know that was the question I had. Wait a second. Did he dive for it?
Did you dive for it?
Hope somebody asked him in the post game.
Well, you just saw what happened with Adrian Phillips in that the Patriots signed him early.
Right.
And I'm not saying that they're going to sign J.C. Jackson early because you know that he wants to go and test the market most likely.
I know what you're going to ask. Do you think that they've engaged in any sort of talks with his representation?
What's going on right now on that front with these two sides?
I don't think a damn thing.
Is that good or bad?
I think it's good for both because obviously he wants to get paid and he's worked his way from a number standpoint, a playing standpoint to get paid. And they know they can't go in there and salt him with the first offer. Like, he's not going to sign a team-friendly deal. I don't think that because of the numbers and where he ranks and, you know, the kind of company that he's in there with. And then you still have the franchise thing in your pocket, you know. So it's like, we don't really need to do this yet. That's part of the problem you risk and what you run when you say, okay, we have the thing, the franchise tag we can rely on. I'll just slap it on him. And then he kind of pissed the player off, too. That's only about 1 year guarantee. You know what I mean? And you know how those things go. The guys that get franchised, usually that stuff doesn't tend to work out 2 or 3 years after it. Because you sort of get in the money war with the team. But they do have that. They have that wild card in their pocket. So no need to do anything right now.
You know, as of right now, the Patriots are going to have...
Let's see if we go on a run here. You know what I mean?
Somewhere close to $30 million in space. How do you not use some of that and lock up J.C. Jackson? I don't know what's going to justify them not signing him. Right? Like, what kind of contract would it take him getting in free agency that you will look at and say, you know what? The Patriots were right to let go their best corner, their most established corner.
Because you're going to have Gilmore off the books, right?
Who's an elite player.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would take. That's a position that gets paid in this league.
Unless you're that hard-headed that we've done it with Malcolm, we've done it with him, and we're going to do it with the next guy.
Do you want a good corner or not on the team?
Yes!
You know, with Gilmore, you can trade him away and fall back to J.C. Jackson. You let J.C. Jackson walk in free agency. What are you falling back to?
I don't know. But do you like the ability to play a ton of zone and play cushion and allow them to just pick you apart in a flat all day long? Because that becomes problematic when you don't have corners that can't cover. That's why you back guys off. That's why you end up playing zone, because you don't have a lot of confidence or faith in some of those guys to go out there on that island. I like the fact that he believes in himself and he's cocky. Like, he's got that swagger to play that position. Doesn't always work out for him. You know, Diggs will get you.
You know,
he's pretty good.
I just don't know that I feel great next year saying, well, they've got Jonathan Jones and Jalen Mills, so they'll be fine. No, this is a player they should sign. And, oh, what's that? Cap space.
How does Tampa have $32 million?
Sporttrack has them at $31.5 million, according to the graphic we have.
Tampa has more cap space than you.
What the? I don't know, Zoe. You keep telling me Tampa's going to cap jail. What happened to that? And Kansas, you keep telling me Kansas City is going to cap jail. And there they are right there with $29.4 million in free space. Oh, you know, and Zoe's been telling us that for years. Oh, you know, they're going to pay for that. Kansas City, they're going to pay for that. They're going to be doomed.
We got fed a bunch of crap.
I've been lied to.
Damn it.
And by the way, we know the caps are going to explode in the coming years.
TV money. God.
So this is the time to lock up your players.
Yeah.
This is a good opportunity here. You can even backload it
somehow.
Plus,
you got the quarterback on short money. You got the guy to play the position on short money.
Yeah, can you backload it based on what the new cap will be?
Well, you can't backload the bonus money, right?
Right.
But you can backload base salaries. Right? I mean, I think Rob Gronkowski's deal was a pretty good example of that when he was here. He had some bigger numbers in the later years, if I'm remembering that correctly. I'd have to go back and look. Maybe I have that in reverse. But you can maneuver it a little bit to push the money off.
Dolphins have $75 million in cap space. Bengals have $60 million. Colts are going to have $50 million.
Very emotional weekend there in Cincinnati. They're not thinking about that 59.
That guy's got it so tough, that tail. Like Roscoe Jenkins.
Sounds of Sunday are next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Grooving on a Monday, gonna play the sounds of Sunday. Grooving on a Monday, gonna play the sounds of Sunday.
T-Bone finds all the sounds, he's got time to track them down. Cause he ain't got no one. And if we had a little way, Tom would get some every day. From a really pretty girl or guy.
Here we go.
Zolak and Bertrand, sounds of Sunday. Please call up T-Bone. Let's get him laid.
Look out! Hold on.
Why'd you cut that off, T-Bone?
It was getting good.
All right, fine. Get in the pocket.
All right. Bam. Look out. Look out.
All right, sounds of Sunday, gentlemen. Let's start in Cincinnati. Bengals radio, game-winning field goal that sealed the division title. Here we go.
Okay.
Kevin Huber is ready. Catches the snap, puts it down. The kick is on its way.
Yeah.
It is good. The Cincinnati Bengals clinch the AFC North and prove they can beat anybody as they rally from 14 down on 3 separate occasions and beat the Kansas City Chiefs 34-31.
They beat the AFC West champs 6 times in a row. They beat the AFC perennial champs in so doing. How about that, sports fans?
Sports fans.
I'm a sport. Are you a sport?
I am.
I'm a sport.
How about that, sports people?
Fans of professional sporting contests. All right, let's go on to the Bucks-Jets game. This is after all the Antonio Brown drama. Tom Brady threw a game-winning touchdown. It's ridiculous.
Once again, Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things.
It sounded like this.
Ready to go, Brady, with 23 seconds to go. The snap, a good one. Brady looking, cocks the arm, throws toward the end zone. Receiver open, caught ball, touchdown Tampa Bay, touchdown Tampa Bay. Buccaneers take the lead for the first time of the game. Grayson makes the catch in the end zone. Buccaneers lead 26-24. Tom Brady, you're terrific.
Tom, terrific.
I can't.
I got a question.
I can't listen to him without thinking of Rocco.
I got Rocco.
Was that a treat over the weekend, or was that a treat?
That was special to learn that. That would be learning that Jim Murray's middle name is Rocco.
Shocker of the year. I didn't know that.
Oh, Jim's Rocco Murray.
I don't believe I knew that.
His Twitter, I think.
It is?
I've known it forever.
At Big Jim. At I am Big
Jim. James Rocco Murray, sure.
Fire the cannons.
Fire the cannons.
Fire them harder.
It does not say Rocco anywhere on his Twitter bio.
No, it's somewhere. All right, let's go to Jets radio. What did that Buccaneers touchdown sound like on Jets radio?
First and 10. Brady takes the snap, drops back, looks right, pumps once, fires one down the right side, caught, front right pylon, Grayson into the end zone. Touchdown. Wow.
Great call.
15 seconds to go in the game, and Tom Brady does it again to the Jets, breaks their hearts. The Bucs have the lead.
Unbelievable, Bobby. Went 9 plays, 93 yards in under 2 minutes, and no timeouts. Just worked the clock, no panic, stayed cool. Unbelievable.
Bob Wash shoes, and great call.
That's the Jets' call?
That's a better call than Gene Dekeroff's. You know why they love it? Because they're witnessing greatness, and when you see it, you know it.
Oh, boy.
You're like, oh, my God, he did it again.
Wow.
They're so used to it.
They're used to it.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Cardinals radio, fake punt, Ron Wolfley, all fired up. This play.
Pull the rabbit out of the hat.
I assume we all saw it?
Yes.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
It is.
They fake it, though. It's a direct snap, and now a throw downfield, and inside the 45-yard line, it's caught. Caught at the 40-yard line. There's a flag down, trying to see who caught the ball. It was Jonathan Ward. It's a first down if the flag is not on Arizona.
Oh, baby, you got to be kidding me, David. Cliff Kingsbury and Jeff Rogers just rolled the dice. Oh, my goodness.
It's got to be pass interference, right, on Dallas?
Yes. Yes!
But what happened? Maybe they hadn't seen the replay. You have to see the replay in slow motion 3 times before you can wrap your head around how he caught that
ball. It's David Tyree-esque.
It is.
It's actually a better catch than David Tyree.
Well, it's more sensational than David Tyree's.
Not to mention that, you know, Eli was in the grasp and all of that on that play. But no, yes. No sour grapes.
Okay, Patriots radio. Let's go to the pregame. Soucy taking a shot at N'Keal Harry.
Let's get to the Patriots inactives. And this is the list right now. Nelson Agholor, Jawan Williams, Jarrett Stidham, J.J. Taylor, Sean Wade, Devin Asiasi, and in addition to Agholor being inactive, N'Keal Harry is inactive for the Patriots today. Your thoughts?
Well, maybe that means fewer running plays.
All right.
Wow. Way to go, Rob. Okay. Save those hot takes for Felger and Raz, Bob.
Felger and Raz?
Hot.
Was Casper having an episode? I think he called him Rob instead of Bob and then said Felger and Raz?
Yeah.
I think that happened.
I think Bob had him rattled during one of the breaks. They were like around.
Maybe it was just the pure shock of such a negative hot take from Bob Soucy.
I know.
That was, I didn't believe it.
It was uncharacteristic.
Yes. So here's what
he's
it said.
Tired of it too.
As if you listen to the beginning of the game, you know that, you know, Zoe does his thing and then he hands it off to Bob Soucy.
Yeah, yesterday was a little different though.
All right. Well, let's.
New Year.
Try something new.
Did you say Happy New Year?
Nope.
Huh. All right. Well, let's listen to it.
All right, to set the scene here at Gillette Stadium for your final regular season home game of the year, here's my broadcast partner in your voice of the Patriots, Bob Sosie.
Oh, boy.
Well, I just tried a little new wrinkle for 2022. All right,
inspired by our national anthem performer, Fran Rogers, the great tenor of local roots.
What? A great tenor of local roots.
Here's roots? My broad.
I mean, it's just such a stark contrast to go from Zoe doing some sort of wrestling introduction to Sosi going
a
to
curveball.
Inspiration from the national anthem singer of
one of
local
the greatest
roots.
Tenors of our time.
Tenor of local roots.
Here's my broadcast partner in your voice of the Patriot.
I didn't know what you were getting ready to say there with a broad.
I didn't know what the hell you were doing.
I didn't either. It just happened. Boom.
So you're wearing some kind of support up top? Can I see that?
Here's my bra.
Is that a bro? Is that a man's ear?
Here's my bra.
You going to do that again this week?
No, I'll be miserable. Because we're in the worst booth in the National Football
League. It was a one-week thing.
It's the worst booth that we're going to be calling a game from. It's a closet in the end zone.
It couldn't be worse than the booth you're in this past week. But I take that back. Because Zoe smelled something during the broadcast, but it wasn't a bad smell. I was in there, and I remember when this happened.
So it will be a 3rd and 3 for Jacksonville.
Smell fried chicken. It was a good fried chicken smell. Like I had that weird, I smell a new smell, and it's like fried chicken smell. They don't sell fried chicken there, do they?
Well, they sell chicken fingers.
Is it the fry stand?
I don't know, but it was coming in the
booth. Friolator smell?
And Capel's like, yeah, it's weed. You smell weed. That's what you smell is weed. You would know they're Panama Red.
There's a 4-receiver bunch to the left.
Yeah, there it is.
How many? 4 wide left. Right back to the call.
So it will be a 3rd and 3 for Jacksonville.
Smell fried chicken. That made me want a bucket from KFC right then. Like, I wanted to go there and get a bucket of KFC or just go to Popeyes and get a box of chicken.
You know what it made me think of, Zoe? That scene in On Golden Pond when Ethel brings them out the cold fried chicken when they're out there fishing.
It's covered in the...
They had cold glass bottles of Coca-Cola.
Norman, you must eat your lunch.
They were over in Purgatory Cove. I don't know how she found him.
What's the name of the fish they were looking for?
Walter.
Walter. It's a big fish.
Finally, 40-point game. Things went off the rails tiny little bit.
There we go.
They started talking about old TV sitcoms.
That was a staple of the Football Follies.
Whoop.
Watching the old Dolphin kicker, who was outstanding, by the way, in The Odd Couple. He was in The Odd Couple with
people
Felix Randolph and Jack Klugman.
I would be Oscar. You would be Felix.
I would be Tony Randall and Jack Klugman, of course. Oscar and Felix, although not in that order. Jack Klugman was Oscar. Tony Randall was Felix.
I think I was even too young for that show.
Was on that show once.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think I was even too young for that show.
Like, I used to watch it on the reruns.
Miss a show where it's like 21 Jump Street or Cheers. You know, people like Miss Seinfeld. But I remember Laverne and Shirley. I remember Happy Days. But I don't remember much of The Odd Couple.
Oh, I love
all
that
the
show.
Family. Always sat there. My grandparents watched that.
See, you grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I grew up in the middle of New York State with all the New York City stations.
So that's more of a New York-based show then. Okay.
So two of the mainstays, the Honeymooners.
Ralph Cramden, right?
Ralph
my
Cramden.
Dad loved that show,
Jackie
but I
Gleason.
Never. It was filmed too old.
Art Carney.
Like anything that's black and white, I don't got a chance in it, unless it's the Stooges.
Okay. Bang Zoom to the Moon.
It's not a good show.
One of these days.
One room.
Kick off by Bailey left to right.
They call that Phil.
Wow.
Yeah, they Phil
that's
for
like
3 minutes.
Good jazz right there.
That was
just you two riffing off each other like that. Oh. Like Les McCann and Eddie Harris.
Dukes of Hazzard, watch that.
It took me back to Newport, you two. Wow. Real compared to what? What you talking about? I'm with you on the Honeymooners. That like stage play thing in the black and white and it's all grainy. I'm like, I can't even watch this. I can't.
I couldn't get into the MASH because of the same tent setting all the time. I just couldn't get into those shows.
Yeah. But I remember seeing The Odd Couple in reruns. But you and I are both too young for that. We're not.
I do too. I think we're too young for that.
But it wasn't something that you and I would have watched.
It didn't click. But I remember saying, like, I didn't know one was Messi and one was
sure.
It never really, like, okay, it didn't resonate. Like, I didn't say, hey, I want to watch the next one. We got to watch.
No, we didn't binge watch.
Cheers, I binge watched.
Yeah,
Sanford and Son, all in a fit, binge watched.
Binge watched. Just get yourself in a bin and watch it.
By the way, speaking of old shows, R.I.P. Betty White.
Wow. 100. Was she 100?
What happened?
2 weeks shy of her 100th birthday.
Shaughnessy killed her.
Did he?
Oh.
He mentioned her?
My largely useless neighbor across the street mentioned Betty White in a death pool or something the night before she died. So I blame him.
Did you talk to him after that?
I did. I said, nice going, Chris.
What did he say?
Weird.
Pay up, buddy.
Dude. No, I don't go do death pools.
I don't either. It's weird. Bad karma.
It is.
Yeah, bad karma for sure. We've got one more add-on for Sounds of Sunday. We'll do it after the headlines, though, okay? We're right back.
Sure.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.